again. Come on, somebody shout, yeah. Tell somebody it's just another challenge from the enemy. The word challenge means an invitation to compete. It means a summons to a duel. It means really to dare or to defy. Do I have any witnesses? Y'all know how it was coming up back in the day. It was before my day, but they said they just put the little stick on their shoulder and said, I dare you to knock it off. And as time progressed, they tell you, I dare you to step over the line. And they stepped over the line. Can I get any witnesses? And as time progressed, they just said, I dare you to say something about my mama. Y'all not going to say that to me here. See, that was a challenge. They said, if you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to fight you. Y'all not saying that to me. And the devil is challenging the people of God. Oh, y'all not going to say that to me here. And if he's willing to challenge you, you ought to be willing to fight him. Can I get any witnesses in here now? Oh, yeah, you got to be willing to fight against the devil. You got to be willing to go into battle, into warfare. How can I get any witnesses here? Because the devil wants to cut you off. He wants to make you quit before you receive your prize. Is anybody hearing me here? Oh, but your mind has got to be made up. Your heart has got to be fixed. I'm going to fight against the enemy. And not only will I fight, but I'm going to win. Do I have any witnesses here? Tell somebody, yeah, I'm going to win. Oh, you got to believe that. Y'all looking at me like I'm strange. You must think you're going against the enemy and somehow he's going to win. Can I get a witness? And y'all not going to say that to me here. Yeah, I'm going to fight against him. I'm going to win. I'm not going into battle hoping that I can maybe knock him out. That maybe he'll get tired and I can walk away with. Now. I'm not going into battle like that. I'm going in for the knockout. I'm going in for the kill. Do I have any witnesses here? He don't even stand a chance against me. Can I get a witness here? I don't care how the odds are stacked against me. They're still in my favor. Do I have any witnesses here? Come on, shout yours. The Bible said, and there was yet a battle. It seems like the enemy would have learned by now that we are a child of God and we ain't going anywhere. But the problem is, and I'll tell you why the enemy does what he does, is because when he comes up against some people, they say no. And then when he comes back again, they say yeah. y'all talk back to me here. When he comes against them to fight, they're strong enough to fight him off. But something happens in between the devil's last visit. And when he comes back again, that same power that you have, you don't have as much as you had. You cannot resist him. That's why the Bible said resist the devil and he will flee. Y'all not going to say that to me here. That's why when some people, the enemy comes up against them, he ends up coming and staying for a while. Because they don't have that same resisting power. Is anybody hearing me? That's the importance of praying and fasting. Because if you pray, you can get stronger. If you fast, you can get stronger. Is anybody hearing me here? And those folk that stop praying, those ones that stop fasting, those ones that stop reading the word of God, those that stop coming to the house of God, they begin to get weak. That spiritual man is not as strong as it was it used to be. Anytime the enemy stuck up his head, you would say, Satan, I rebuke you. Now he shows up, people are saying, what you want? Now I'm not giving any space to the enemy. I'm not going to give him a chance. Y'all not going to say that to me here. See, that's why I've got to remain strong in the face of adversity. I've got to remain strong when the devil comes up against me. Because I refuse to let him get the victory that God has given me. Come on, shout, yeah. Tell somebody, I refuse to let him have it. I refuse to let him get down. I'm not going to say that to me here. I refuse to let him have the victory. Can I get any witnesses here? The Apostle Paul said, if I need glory, I will glory in my tribulation. I will glory in my infirmity. Can I get a witness here? He said, if I just need glory, I'll glory in my affliction. Can I get any witnesses here? Paul said, Apostle Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the 12th chapter. He said, all you Hebrews, so am I. All you Greeks, so am I. He said, I've been there. I know what it feels like. He said, I've been beat with 40 stripes. Saved one. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been trapped out in the sea a day and a night. I learned to suffer hungry. I learned to suffer nakedness. I've been robbed. I've been treated bad by my own countrymen. I suffered thirst. I suffered hunger. Is anybody hearing me here? Y'all not going to say nothing to me. He said, but every time a challenge came against me, I accepted the challenge. Shout it! Oh, you got to have the mind made up. God, I'm going to accept the challenge. No matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to accept the challenge, because you're not going to break my spirit. You're not going to break my will. Can I get any witnesses here? See, your mind's got to be made up. I don't care what the devil tries. He's not going to break my will. He's not going to break my spirit. Can I get any witnesses here? He'll try to come in and fight you with discouragement, but your mind's got to be made up. He's not going to break me. He's not going to break me. Can I get a witness here? You may see me cry. I may get bruised, but you're not going to break me. I may cry sometime, but you're not going to break me. I may have to roll out of my bed in the midnight hour and cry tears on my pillow, but you will not break me. Come on, shout yeah. I can't stand here and tell you it's not going to get hard sometime. Can I get any witnesses in the building now? I can't stand here and tell you every day going to be the way you want it to. I can't tell you when you get on the Lord's side, you won't have any problems. I wish I could tell you that. Can I get a witness here? But what I am telling you is, when the enemy comes in to challenge you, accept that challenge. Fight that dirty devil, because he don't stand a chance. Come on, shout yeah! Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. God, you got to know that you may have to whoop a few giants to get your blessing. Does anybody hear me here? You're going to have to whip a few giants to get your blessing. I'm going to tell you right now. That's when they sent out spies. They went over and they viewed the land. They said, we viewed the land and we're well able to take it. They came back with grapes that were so big they had to have several men carry just a cluster of grapes. Does anybody hear me here? They said, we viewed the land, we're well able to take it, but there are giants settling in our land. Y'all not saying that to me here. You've got to know what God has already promised you and what God said he was going to do. It may be a few giants in your way, but tell somebody, we're well able to take it. We're well able to take it. We're well able to take it. Do I have anybody that believe that in here? I'm not just saying it because it's in the Bible. Y'all talk back to me here. I'm not just saying it because it sounds good. I'm saying it because I mean it. We're well able to take it. Y'all not saying it to me here. I need some believers in here. And somebody that believes to the saving of the soul. Is anybody in here that still believe in God? Can I get any witnesses here? Say, let me tell you, you've got to believe to the saving of the soul. And if some don't believe, it still does not make the word of God of none effect. Y'all not saying it to me here. You've got to know, even when people doubt, even when people don't believe, you still got to go on as a believer that God is going to do it. Come on, shout yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You've got to know what God said. So here, the people of God. Oh, God, after the death of Saul, there had to be atonement because they were in the midst of famine. If we read back a few verses, they were in the midst of famine for 3 years. And the reason they were going through, because of the sins of Saul, and they had to get atonement for the sins of Saul. And when David was trying to get atonement for the sins of Saul and get everything back in order, that's when the devil showed up. I'll tell you, neighbor, he don't want you to get it in order. Y'all not saying that to me here. I'm scared to talk to the person sitting beside you, tell him he don't want you to get in order. That's why he's fighting your money the way he's fighting your money, because he don't want you to get it in order. See, he wants you to stay broke. I'm not saying that. He wants you to be in a financial crunch. Can I give any witnesses here? He wants you to be in a crisis. He wants you to be in destitute and need. Can I get a witness here? See, now money's not a problem for everybody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's not a problem. Everybody knows some people's biggest trial is money. Can I get a witness here? But some people make enough where they're comfortable. That's not really a problem. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those that know they don't have enough. Can I get a witness here? You know when you get paid, when you get the check, you're glad to get it, but you know when you get it, it's not enough. Can I get any witnesses here now? You know you don't have enough for every bill. And all of a sudden, you start scratching your head. You pull out your pen and paper. You try to stretch it, make it more than what y'all not going to send it to me. The enemy wants you to be there. Tell somebody he don't want you to get it in order. He don't want you. He wants you. See, that's what the devil wants you. He wants you in the struggle. Can I get any witnesses here? He wants you always trying to get a dollar here and get a dollar there. He wants you to buy a 50. So when you get your check, you got to pay back more than what you got coming in. I'm not turning to you. He wants you to be like that. He wants you to always to be with your hand out. How about I want my hand to be up? Thank you, Jesus. I'm not looking for the hand out. Y'all not saying that to me. I'm breaking the beggar's mentality. I'm not trying to get out of that. Y'all not saying that to me here. I accept the challenge. I may be broke for a while, but it's not going to be like this always. Come on, somebody shout, yeah, you got to believe it's not going to be like this always. Maybe I do have to eat peanut butter right now, but I'm going to get past the peanut butter days. Y'all not saying that to me here. Maybe there's beans and rice tonight, but one day I can get the filet mignon. Y'all not saying that to me here. Trouble don't last. Yes. It don't last always. That's where he wants you at. He wants you in poverty. He wants you scrounging, trying to make it. And then he starts talking to you. And he tell you, well, you got to cut corners. And the first corner you cut is the church corner. I'm not saying that to me here. The first thing you cut out is God.
We know that the word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Yes, yes. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. I want to walk this morning through this text and just talk this morning about the church. Amen. We are all privileged to be a part of the finest institution in the universe. That is the church. Now, when I say church here, I'm not necessarily talking about Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I'm not talking about Mount Olive Baptist Church or Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ. I'm talking about the ecclesia. And that simply means the universal church, the called out body of believers. And you need to know that there are folk in the jungles of Africa, amen, who are part of the church. Amen. Amen. There's royalty in Spain and in other places. They are a part of the church. We all are privileged. If God has called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light, then you ought to be excited this morning to know that you're a part of the church. Amen. If you're excited, amen, because please understand that you're in the church not because you were cute, not because you were a fashion expert, not because of where you received your degree or what your rank is in the military. If you're in the church, God saw fit to look beyond your faults and see your needs. Amen. So let me ask you one more time. Are you excited? Are you happy about being a part of the church? Thank you, ushers. Thank you so very much. This church, the ecclesia, the universal church, the called out body of believers. I wanted to talk about this morning because I think that many times we take for granted what it means to be a part of the church. Pastor, why do you think that? Why? Because I look at some of you when you come into the church and there doesn't appear to be any genuine, sincere excitement about your being here. And maybe I'm reading you wrong, amen, and if I am, forgive me, but I just think that when you realize what it took for you to be a part of the church, when you come to church, and that when you realize that in a real sense you are the church, you ought to handle this business in a right way. In an appropriate, you ought to come here knowing that this ain't about you. See, too many of us come into the church with our emotions and our feelings on our shoulders, and we've already concluded that because I don't like so-and-so, or because I don't like the way this is happening or this is being done, that I ain't gonna say amen, I'm not gonna clap, I'm not gonna say praise the Lord. Amen. You've gotten it twisted because you have somehow fooled yourself into believing that the church belongs to you. I wish you would nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, if it hadn't been for Jesus, there would not be a church. And then tell that other neighbor, the church belongs to Christ. So how you handle the church has more to do with what you think about Jesus than what you think about yourself. I wonder if I have a witness today. We ought to handle the business of church with respect. Amen. We ought to handle it. It amazes me how the same folk who don't like folk on their job, they don't like their boss, they don't like the policies that have been implemented, they don't like none of that, but they still wake up every morning and go on that job and treat their boss with respect. Amen. Even when they don't feel like being there, they act like they like being there, and yet will come into the presence of God because you're not having your way and getting what you want, and sit down on God and sit there and look like you've been sucking sour lemons on God. I don't know how you feel about it, but I am thankful that he even called me out of darkness into them. If it had been left up to justice, I would not be able to stand behind this sacred desk. But because he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, every chance I get to give him a hallelujah, I ain't worried about you. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you like me. I have come to worship God. If you've come to worship God, worship him in this place. We need to understand that this is a sacred assembly. Shame on you if you act better at the club than you act at church. This is a sacred assembly. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God meets us here. And this is not wasted time. This is not a ritual. So we need to gain a renewed appreciation for the church. The Bible says, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. Let me hear the church say together. And had all things come together, together. Look at this. The ones that believed, amen, not the ones that came to gawk. The believers were together. Can I ask you a question? Are you a believer? Are you just a spectator? And see, y'all don't realize that some folk are just spectators. They could care less about if the music is right. They could care less, amen, about whether the worship is right. They've only come to see how bad a day you're having. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know they set, amen, strategically because they heard you're having a problem and they are watching you through the whole worship experience. They're waiting to see you cry. They're hoping the choir will sing the right kind of song that will cause you to go into a fit. Amen. But I've said it over and over again. I'm not going to let the devil get any joy out of my trouble. I'm not going to let my haters get any joy out of my trouble. It's not that I don't have any trouble. It's just that I'm not going to give them the opportunity to come in here and gawk at me and laugh and, amen, and be happy because of some pain that I'm going through. Whatever I'm going through, when I come into the presence of God, my joy is restored. When I come into the presence of God, I may not feel like it, but something starts happening in my soul. Something starts happening in my spirit. I get the can't help it. That's why I had to sing the song that I'm going to make it, because somebody's hoping I'm not going to make it. But tell your neighbor, the devil is a lie. I is going to make it. So the Bible says they were together. Talking about the ones that believed. The core, the members, the regulars, they were together. They were like a family. They cared for one another. Amen, amen. They loved one another. They helped one another. They encouraged one another. They blessed one another. They prayed with one another. There were no big I's and little U's. They carried one another's burdens. When one fell down, the others picked them up. Tell your neighbor, they were together. Like the fingers on your hand. Tied to the same purpose. Nothing will destroy a church faster than an uncaring, unthoughtful congregation. My brothers and sisters, we've got to have such genuine love for one another that when you hurt, I hurt. When you suffer, I suffer. Amen. Sometimes church can be the worst place in the world because we're the only institution that will kick those who've fallen. Don't act like you never messed up. I said, don't get beside yourself and act like you never messed up. Don't ever act like you've got some issues. Amen. You don't have some issues. You don't have some faults. And so as the family of God, we've got to love one another. Tell your neighbor again, they were together. But then watch this. It says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. As every man had need. They did what? They sold. See, we're too busy buying stuff, going in the debt, amen. We're too busy going in the debt to even think about selling some stuff. We'd rather go in the debt keeping up with the Joneses than sell off some things to help out somebody in need. And this is a mentality that our American wealthy rationale cannot understand.
But here was the thinking of the church that turned its world upside down for Jesus. They weren't bound up by money. Y'all, money ain't everything. Solomon said money answereth all things. Amen. But if you've lived long enough, you know there's some things money ain't gonna answer. You don't believe me? Amen. Amen. There's some sicknesses out there that you can have all the money and health insurance in the world, but if God don't touch your body and extricate you from that sickness, you will not be healed. Money will not buy everything. Not only were they not bound by money, they weren't in bondage to the religion of self. They knew how to help each other. Oh my, my desire for Pleasant Hill is that we have that genuine, and not just for church folk, but the Bible says that charity ought to begin at home. Amen. The Bible says that we ought to be able to share with one another as believers, but my desire and my goal, my dream for Pleasant Hill is that we also have the kind of desire to help folk who are not in the church. Can I get a witness today? And then it says they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They didn't lose interest after a couple of weeks. See, choir, I watched y'all last night. I said, I watched you. And maybe you know, Arthur done set in for you. You know, y'all were, Royce had y'all moving and all that. And so what I'm looking at might just be some tiredness, some old Arthur done crept in. Amen. Amen. But we can't be Arthur done crept in. Amen. Can I get a witness? We can't be sometimey about this. The Bible says they continued, amen, the prayer. They continued the worship. They continued the fellowship. They continued the work of ministry. They continued bringing people to church. They continued witnessing. They continued, but watch this, daily. That's all some people's burden will last is one day. But these people kept it going day after day after day after day. They knew what it was going to take, and they weren't constantly looking for some new program to change their direction. They didn't lose interest after a week or two. It became a constant way of life for them daily. They continued daily. But not only that, we also need to note again that they were on one accord. I'm here to tell you, you can have an awesome worship experience when God's people get on one accord. I've been in a church, and I never will forget at Greater St. Stephen in New Orleans. I was there one Sunday, and the praise was high and all of that, but everything had calmed down, and there was one lady still hollering and still screaming, and Bishop Barton said, "Sister, you're not on one accord." Now, somebody might say, well, her spirit, you know, is you can't quench the spirit and all of that. But the Bible tells us that you have control over your spirit. A lot of times we use that as an excuse. Well, the spirit just wouldn't let me stop. Amen. Stop lying on the spirit. You got control. If the spirit had that much control over you, you wouldn't lie so much. If the spirit had that much control, oh, come on, y'all go. It's tight, but it's right. The spirit had that much control, your attitude wouldn't be so ugly. You smile sometimes. And they broke bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. They were a people who knew how to worship God. They were not ashamed for the world to see them praise the Lord. They sang with all of their hearts. They clapped their hands. They stood to their feet. They danced. They shouted. They worshiped. And I'm so glad I learned a long time ago that you don't have to be Kojic. And ain't nothing wrong with Kojic. Some of y'all looking like, who? Kojic. Church of God in Christ. See, when I was growing up, we called the Kojic church the sanctified church. But I thank God that Reverend Harrison taught us, and I've been under other leaders who taught us that you don't have to have a label Church of God in Christ on you to get your praise on. You don't have to, amen, amen, be sanctified or none of that stuff, amen, in label to get your praise on. All you got to do is just think about it. the goodness of Jesus. Oh, y'all gonna help. Is there anybody in here when you think about what the Lord has done for you, how he saved you, how he rescued your children? Amen. Come on, don't act like you came in here on a bed of ease.